Okay. So I have a couple Shabbos questions and some other type of questions as well. We spoke before that a person can, on Shabbos, he can reach for a kli shemalachta le'isser if there's nothing else available to him. For instance, I could pick up a pencil and use it as a bookmark if there's nothing else available. How far would I need to reach, like how inconvenient would it need to be for me to go get something else in order for me to reach the
very long. If the other thing's not right there.
Okay. So it, would it, if I had, say, a pencil here and so this, if say this was not, would I have to reach over this or could I even reach something closer just be for the fact that it's closer?
If you're right there, you could just take it close, the closest. Yeah.
Okay. So if the issue if for muktza is you may come to carry it, and then maybe you may come to use it as well. So I'm wondering. So muktza machmas gufo, like a rock or something, seems to me more stringent than a kli shemalachta le'isser. But there's two issues with the kli shemalachta le'isser. One being that you're gonna carry it, and the second that you could use it. So I was wondering why gufo is more stringent.
Oh, you're asking that for carrying by muktza machmas gufo, the chashash that you'll do a malacha with it is actually less.
Right.
That's a very interesting hara. So you're saying there's actually a svara to be more lenient.
Mm-hmm. Or even more so would be machmas chesron kis, because obviously you're gonna be very careful about this, not to maybe even carry it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very stringent.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good question. All I can say is that basically the idea is muktza machmas gufo are things that have no use at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think over there the ikar reason is not a gezeira. The ikar reason is Chazal didn't want there to be tofel shalom at tzarech.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just moving things for no purpose.
Ah, okay.
So kli shemachta le'isser has purpose, and therefore they would not make it with it.
Okay. So I'm wondering, we in slichos and a lot of these in kinos as well, we mention a lot of negative things that happen to us, even when we're not asking for anything particular from Hashem. So I was wondering what should a person focus on during these things? What are we exactly doing when we say, look, we're being slaughtered and
we're complaining? Yeah, well, I think the basic idea is that we're actually acknowledging that God's ways are just and that we deserved these different sufferings. And we are praying that by acknowledging that we've deserved what has happened, we become more entitled to Hashem's racham and forgiveness. Because we've accepted. It's like saying we've learned our lesson.
Uh-huh.
Meaning if we've learned our lesson, there's less reason to continue to punish us.
Okay.
You know, I think that's the basic idea.
Okay. I saw in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, he seems to say that liquid soap is okay, and then I saw in the notes that Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that because when you lather it, the part that's lathered is subject to smoothing, so he suggests not to.
Yeah.
I've also heard that there's an issue of molid with the bubbles, so I was wondering what a person should.
Yeah, well, these are makam to be machra. At least the minaka olam is to be machra on the first prat of mamakic smoothing.
Mm-hmm.
By adding water. You take the liquid soap.
Mm-hmm.
You actually water it down, so it doesn't congeal. It doesn't. It's not a solid mass. It just literally comes out like water.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the molid of the bubbles, again, we're making that because they're temporary and you don't really want them since you're drabanan, and therefore it's. Together of almost a persecution to lay ichbasle, and an isur drabanan.
Okay.
So we make all that.
Okay. So that's
as opposed to making ice where you want the ice, right? That's the
right.
Thing, right.
Okay.
Yeah. So the main thing is we water it down. And then we're
does that apply with? I don't know why you would use shampoo. Let's say lotion. Does that apply by lotion too? Does it also have that film of hard? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Huh. That's the lotion, Vaseline. Well, Vaseline is obvious.
That's thick.
Yeah.
Okay, so any type of thing that you would be putting on yourself, lotion?
Yeah, anything you smear other than food is going to be a problem.
Okay.
I mean, toothpaste is a problem too.
Right. Yeah. So Rabbi Rubiat says that things that are only things that are too thick to pour are subject to smoothing. So say Vaseline is too thick to pour, so that would be subject.
Well, on the other hand, you see, but that definition is going to be makeled by liquid soap, which can be poured. But Moshe, I think, is a little stricter.
Okay. So the accepted minhag is to be stringent in this and watered down. Okay. I was having a discussion with my friend and it came up a couple questions. So totally uncooked food on Shabbos. I've heard this before. I haven't seen it inside anywhere that there could be an issue if you put it, I'm not sure, on a blech or without a blech. If you put it on before Shabbos and it's totally uncooked, that's a problem.
Well, the Oraisa is talking about a problem because you didn't do a pool of cooking, but Midrabanan, it is a problem. Chazal, this is called Shehiya.
But this is even on a blech?
Even on a blech.
Now,
100% correct. Meikar Hadin, there shouldn't be a problem because that's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, don't put uncooked food on a fire before Shabbos unless the fire is covered.
Right.
So if the fire is covered, then fakir, right? But Rabbi Kiveger brings, our minhag is, it's really a minhag. In other words, it's not clear from the Gemara, it's fairly clear from the Gemara that this should be mutter.
Mm-hmm.
But the minhag Yisrael is that even with a blech, it has to be machal ben jerusoy before Shabbos.
Okay.
But if you're thinking that doesn't seem to fit the prohibition of Shehiya, you're correct. It's a minhag.
So if I see someone doing that, or if it happens bedieved, it's okay. Just don't say anything. Okay. So that would be why there's an issue then of using a timer to cook uncooked food.
In other words, where you put the food down before Shabbos.
So I put on
Shabbos?
Putting
it on Shabbos might be an issue derisa because even though the timer activates the fire, but the Yerushalmi says. The person who puts the food where the fire will come might be chayiv. So to put uncooked food in a place where a timer will turn on an oven, that might actually be an issur d'oraisa. Now, if you're talking about putting it before, then that would be nichlal. That's interesting. That's interesting. If you have a blech, that's a very interesting question. If you have a blech and you put the food on top of the blech, and there'll be a timer. Well, certainly, mitam the minhag, that's going to be yes.
Right.
Yeah. The question is, meikar hadin, that meikar hadin, it might be mutter. Meikar hadin, it's not me. A timer may not be worse than a shahiyah.
So I guess the practical example of this question would be if I have cholent, and so it heats up by lunchtime, and then the timer kicks off, so it cools down. So now so in this case, it would be fully cooked. And then, say, I want it for shal sudas, so it turns on again later.
Assuming you have the blech equivalent.
Right.
Yeah, so the minhag is, okay, the question becomes like this. For liquids, it's not shayach. Because it's also
it cools
to
off.
Reheat liquids that have cooled out, even through a timer.
That's durabanan?
That's durabanan, yeah. But for solid food that's fully cooked, if you'd be allowed to warm it up, you can warm it up through a timer.
So cholent, we're gonna say is a liquid then because they're so even if it's very congealed
it depends,
still
but I think you should be machmeran.
Okay, I heard that an electric plata or like a hot plate that a person normally doesn't cook on does not need a hefsek kedera to recook or to cook put something.
That's correct, but it depends really. How hot it gets. In other words, the Yisayda Dvarim is the following. When you're allowed to reheat food, because it's a Dever Yavesh, that's a special called Sarcha, you have to reheat it in a way that is different than the way you would cook raw food, because otherwise it looks like Bishul. People might think you're cooking, right? So Hefsek Kedera is just a way that it's an unusual way of cooking food, so therefore people will realize you're just reheating.
Mm-hmm.
So that svara of hepsikadera doesn't, is loved off hepsikadera, but any cooking on a surface which is not derech bishul bakach, even if it's yatsu lettuce, well, you'd be allowed to rewarm. So an example would be a radiator. You could put dabra yavesh on a radiator, even if the radiator is very hot, because nobody cooks raw chicken on a radiator. So a Shabbos plata, the poskim say, is really kind of the same type of thing. Even if a yatsu lettuce bay, it's not yatsu lettuce bay, it's everything's much better. But even if it's yatsu lettuce bay, but it's such a low temperature, so that would be 130 degrees or something, that nobody would ever cook food from scratch. And in Mela, you don't need a hefsikadera.
But if it was hotter, say 170
if it gets hotter, then, you know, so, and sometimes if there are multiple settings, it can get hotter. Mm. So the yisod simply is, you don't need hefsikadera if the surface is a type of surface that would normally never be used for cooking raw food.
Okay.
Now, legabe heating a liquid, this is irrelevant.
It's always right. It's
because
always.
If it's yatsa lettuce, well, you're not allowed to do that if it's nitztani.
Okay. So for things that are abnormal way of cooking, if you turn a cookie sheet upside down,
that seems to be a machlokas achronim. Even in the English books, they give different answers. Some say the takana of kedera al gabe kedera requires that there be a pot of food or water or liquid or soup. Others say inverting an empty pot is good. Others say, well, inverting an empty pot is just making an extra blech. Mm-hmm. And the blech itself we don't treat as a non-cooking surface. Mm-hmm. So that is a machlokas. Many people are making.
Okay, and so there's no
many
difference.
People are machlokas, so you're going to see people say different things.
So there's no difference then with regard to this question of a cookie sheet or a pot upside down, that neither of them are full of anything.
Well, I think a cookie sheet is much. Cookie sheet is thin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Yeah, hi. Okay, we're saying that's fine. Okay. Yeah. A cookie sheet is worse because a cookie sheet is much closer to just being a blech. A pot, at least, is
it looks
an unusual rise.
Okay. So
I would not be samech on a cookie sheet.
Would I be able to be somech on an empty pot upside down?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why there's a problem. You know, have you, I don't know if they have it here. In the States, they have something called a kedera blech. I don't know if you've heard
of
this.
Yeah.
So kedera blech, to me, is a real, real problem. And I've seen other people have said that. Because a kedera blech, you know, looks like a regular blech. It happens to be a pot, but, you know, it externally, it looks like you're just putting it on the stovetop. So if the whole problem is mechzik mevashel, if it's not a kedera that's above the surface of the stovetop, I think there's a problem.
And that's different, though, from a plata, though, because...
Yeah, the plata is a surface that normally does not get hot enough to cook.
Okay.
A stovetop is a surface you do cook on, therefore it's a mechzik mevashel.
Okay. So if I have they have packages where there's a perforated line to open it, to rip it open. So that would be, the question is that tearing to a specific size? So Rabbi Ribiad says, because you don't really care about the size of it opening, that it's not an issue. But it seems to be that it is, I would maybe prefer the neatness of the tear when I tear it open. So would that be...
I mean, I have to, again, look at the sputters and everything, but I know the minhag is to try to avoid cutting under perforations.
Just because of the issue of enjoying the neatness.
Right? Uh-huh.
So that there's two issues then with cutting to a size. One is you want, it's to prepare a cut, and the other is to a size?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then for toilet paper, if you come into the situation where you have to tear it because of you do it with a shinui, and you shouldn't do it on the line.
Right.
Okay, because that's an eshes.
Right.
So I've seen a lot of different opinions for what is considered rishus harabim, whether you need 6,000 people or passing through. So I was wondering what the actual category classification is.
Well, it's a very big active machlokas in halacha legabe erevin in metropolitan areas, because you know you can't use an erev for a real rishus harabim. But by and large, people are samech on the 600,000 definition. That's why we have those who rely on Erev in the metropolitan areas are always relying on the 600,000 calculation. And then, of course, they have to define, what do I mean 600,000? It doesn't mean 600,000 people are living in the area, because that we do have an area for it, but it means 600,000 people in a given street. So if you don't have 600,000 people on a given street, which is very hard to get, I mean, you know, I saw calculations that even the George Washington Bridge has like 200,000 people a day. So it's hard for me to imagine. I mean, how big were cities in the time of Chazal? I mean, were they bigger than New York?
I mean, Beitar, I think I saw, has...
Even the Rishonim say that the numbers of Harugei Beitar were exaggerated. Gizmos, they were not... they're millions. The numbers the Gemara gives you are millions and millions. So it's hard to understand. This is something that always bothers me in Halacha. When we define something as so gargantuan, we then have to ask ourselves, well, clearly, in the time of Chazal, there was such a thing. What was it, you know? But still, we're very mako on. In other words, we adopt a very high standard of what is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and therefore we're mako on things less than that.
So would that be, if I were, would I be able to be somech on that, the 600,000?
Well, what is the shayla? Do you get carrying in an eruv?
I guess carrying in an eruv.
Because even less than 600,000, it's a karmelus for them, unless there's a
right. Well, yeah, if there's an eruv.
Your shayla is going to be somech on eruv.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is. I mean, I carry in an eruv, but I mean, to full disclosure. But I mean, the Mishnah does bring about some Baal Nefesh is not somech on any tzuras of Pesach for an eruv based on the Rambam Shita. But that's not totally a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. That's another issue. If you were to carry in an Erev in a small area, you could be subject on this did a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can stop here. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Maybe I'll.